finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Rick and Morty was unstoppable. Everyone now finally had a great adult cartoon show. For the first time since Family Guy and The Simpsons faded into irrelevancy, everyone finally had a new cartoon to absolutely love. Rick and Morty merch was everywhere. References from the show were part of popular culture, and people from all walks of society enjoyed it. From kids to adults to the elderly, it was the defining show of the 2010s. But fast forward a few years, and now this once incredible show is just completely irrelevant. Even though the last season was kind of okay, there's just zero substance, fun, or care to be had with the show anymore. The most recent season has been especially sharp after such a bad run. The jokes were okay, they didn't butcher the characters, and the mandatory bad episode wasn't even that bad. But there was still something missing. Rick and Morty had completely lost its relevancy, and just nobody talks about the show anymore. So why did Rick and Morty lose that spark of life, that amazing creativity and relevance? And will it ever get it back again? Some shows peak in their first season, others only get better as they go on. But Rick and Morty is different. If you track the show's trajectory over its decade-long runtime, you'll get a very strange picture. Like so many shows before it, the first two seasons are often seen as the best. From then on, it got worse, and by season 6, most people thought it was all but over. Then, just before the release of season 7, one of the two showrunners got cancelled. For most shows, this would be disastrous, but for Rick and Morty, it was even worse. Justin Roiland created the show. He played both of the main characters, along with most of the side characters, while also masterminding a big chunk of the writing and production. But despite a rough start to season 7, the show still got right back on track. And now reviews are seemingly up again, and it's already been confirmed for 4 more seasons on top of the most recent one. But despite how good technically it might be, barely anyone will say that it reached the heights of the first 2 seasons. And in terms of relevancy, it can't even compare. So in answering the question of why Rick and Morty is so irrelevant, we first need to figure out what the show had to know what it lost. So let's start with the people who made it. Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland are the co-founders of Rick and Morty, and as a creative partnership, they both bring a lot to the table. With the success running a community, nobody doubted that Harmon had the talent and the vision to create an excellent show. Roiland, on the other hand, was an experimental animator and voice actor who thrived on chaos, crude humor, and surreal improvisation. It was exactly this unpredictability that drew Harmon to Roiland and his experimental short, Doc and Marty. Though it seemed badly animated, rough, and offensive, it had an energy that other shorts didn't. Roiland had actually made the short out of frustration. Nothing he had been doing in Hollywood was working, and nothing was getting through. So with all this pent-up frustration, he made something that was never intended to be palatable and submitted it to a show with no intention of it ever airing. He said, quote, "I was like, this isn't going to get voted back, but I'm going to hear people scream," he later said in an interview with Vulture. But it was precisely for these reasons that it was liked by Dan Harmon. When Adult Swim approached Harmon looking for a new animated series, he pitched the idea of a smartened up version of Doc and Marty, with the names changed to Rick and Morty for legal reasons. So Roiland was let loose on the scripts. His improvised voice acting was unpredictable and strangely charming. It created the stilted dynamic between the unhinged Doc and the nervous, reluctant Marty with comedic chemistry. It was like an uncut diamond, still raw and misshapen, but with quite a bit of trimming and polishing, it could really shine. Meanwhile, Dan Harmon got to work creating the foundations of the show. As shown by his work on Community, he could create a compelling group of characters and dynamics. It gave the show structure and a core that meant it never felt like it was going completely off the rails. Roiland could go wherever he wanted with the jokes and the side characters. The writers were then blessed by this groundwork. Then, when the show needed to get serious or emotional, it had done the work to make it mean something. This dichotomy was what really drew people to the show in its first two seasons. Dan Harmon's work and the rest of the writers kept the show down to earth without it getting boring. Meanwhile, Roiland could improvise and create whatever he liked on top of that. This kept the show completely unpredictable without losing its heart along the way. The early seasons, particularly seasons 1 to 3, were met with near universal acclaim. Everybody loved the show, it completely took off, being one of the best comedies written in recent history. Rotten Tomatoes gave season 1 a score of 96% and praised it for its originality, sharp writing, and sci-fi creativity. Episodes like Rick's 60 Minutes became instant fan favorites, showing off Roiland's improvisational style and the show's creative freedom. After the season 1 finale in April 2014, there was a 15-month gap until season 2 premiered in July 2015. During this gap, the show's reputation snowballed. Clips went viral on YouTube, fan art exploded on Tumblr, and theories about the multiverse concept drew in new viewers who hadn't actually seen the show live but binged it online. There was so much hype for season 2. Fans were clamoring for more sci-fi madness, for more backstory, more philosophical depth, and insanely brilliant voice acting. And when season 2 premiered, it gave fans and reviewers just what they were waiting for. From season 1 to season 2, the fan base essentially doubled. While everyone played their part, the show really hinged on Rick. He was the character everyone knew and loved. The show gave him endless opportunities to belittle other characters, whilst always being at least 3 steps ahead. He was always seemingly omnipotent within the show, yet his character still played on an existential crisis so many of its viewers could recognize, and yet nobody had tapped into this in the media so far. While it was part of the joke most of the time, Rick's performative apathy was a defining feature of his character. In earlier episodes, he seems completely uncaring about the family, and Morty in particular. In many ways, it was his defining feature early on, so much so that every single intro we see has begun with this clip of Rick leaving Morty to die. Meanwhile, the outward veneer of apathy has always been an act. For the first two seasons, it was rarely obvious, but the show breadcrumbed it time and time again. One obvious example is when Rick gave his life for Morty in the first episode of season 2. It's this Rick that fans fell in love with. As the two seasons went on, this conflict only deepened. Rick constantly reminded other characters that he didn't need them. He could just get another family from a different dimension, of course, so why lose any sleep over losing them? Yet as the show went on, we could see Rick's emotional bonds getting stronger. But as season 2 wrapped up and we got the finale, he was finally forced to confront that part of himself and make a final decision. The plot conspired that he had to make a choice. He had to choose between his own rational self-preservation and freedom, or he could stay true to his own family. We saw him seemingly make that decision, turning himself in while the family got to live on. But obviously, with another season on the way, everyone knew this wasn't the real ending. Fans had to wait even longer for that resolution this time, 18 months to be exact. But when season 3 did finally start airing, most fans were happy. The first episode was what it all hinged on, but most fans were satisfied. Rick outsmarted and blew up all his enemies, brought everything back to normal, and even had time to berate Morty at the end. The rest of the season brought more critical acclaim, as well as the most mass market attention the show ever got. You ask anyone about Rick and Morty today, and they'll probably remember Pickle Rick and Szechuan Sauce, both from the beginning of season 3. But in hindsight, while season 3 was strong in lots of ways, it also set up the show's backslide into mediocrity. It hinges on the way they solved season 2's cliffhanger. That whole conflict within Rick and at the heart of the show, between his nihilism and his humanity, wasn't really solved. Everyone's anticipation was for nothing in the end. It was framed like Rick would actually have to choose when in fact he got to have his cake and eat it too. He made the sacrifice only for it to not matter within 20 minutes of season 3. But at the same time, Rick had changed, but not really in any satisfying way. This final conflict might have been dodged, but it still left its mark and Rick lost that edge he used to have. The infamous Pickle Rick episode ended with Rick sitting in a therapist's office and getting a lecture on how he was avoiding his problems. It was like when a show has a will they won't they dynamic between the main character and their love interest, and when they finally get together, the show loses something it can never get back. Rick and Morty had this moment when Rick chose his family at the end of season 2. It just took the unsatisfying consequence of that to make it clear to fans. But before we continue, I want to tell you about Odoo. Odoo is an all-in-one management software that provides entrepreneurs with a range of applications to simplify the daily management of their business, such as invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and more. For example, say you're an entrepreneur looking to set up an e-commerce site. Odoo will do this for you in no time, as their configurator guides you through a few simple steps. An AI then generates the structure of your website based on the information you previously provided. All that's left is to then add content using an intuitive drag and drop feature and customize it. From there, you can quickly create products from your site, where you just need to enter the required information such as the name and price, and then your product is created. You can then customize the page, where you can add images, a description, and adjust the layout by adding content blocks. After that, you can quickly add in all your personal details, like a VAT number, bank account, invoice design, along with your shipping methods and payment providers. Odoo allows you to launch your e-commerce site for free with its lifetime first free app offer, including unlimited hosting and support. You'll also get a personalized domain name free for 1 year, allowing you to start getting sales that quickly. As Odoo grows with you, allowing you to add additional apps as your business expands and your needs evolve. The first app is free for life, including unlimited hosting and support, and you can access all applications starting from €19.90 per month. So check Odoo out today by using the link in the description below. For the next 6 seasons, Rick would slowly become more and more domesticated. Morty, on the other hand, had become more jaded, and the two characters merged into each other. Now, even though they're played by different people, they're more similar than when they were both Justin Roiland. You could easily swap lots of their lines from season 7 or 8, and you wouldn't be able to tell. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. While season 3 was the peak of the show's popularity, it was also the end of the show's narrative momentum. Season 4 and 5 were headed off the edge of the cliff. A massive strength of the show has always been how well it works as a template for one-off stories and episodes. With the portals, Rick and Morty could plausibly do anything anywhere. This inherent unpredictability had to be balanced, but season 4 was when the show began to lose its stability. First, you had the fairly unique relationship between Rick and Morty. Earlier seasons threw them into completely different scenarios and stories without losing that dynamic. But as the characters developed, just like we talked about with Rick, that changed as well. Diluted Rick and the now jaded Morty didn't work as well as the opposite characters we used to have. Character development is natural and in the end, inevitable. But when it's inconsistent and when it damages the dynamic between the main characters, it can damage the show over time. Season 1 banter feels a lot more fresh than Season 7 banter, even though the Season 1 talking patterns make it twice as long. Earlier on, Dan made sure the episodes followed a pretty strict structure as well. But as the team began working on Season 4, he began to get worried that it was all getting stale. In an interview taken just after Season 3 aired, he said that, quote, "The last thing I want to be is the guy who makes Rick and Morty sterile. We need to keep it fresh and continue to innovate." Part of this change in philosophy was how Harmon and Roiland changed the way they structured each story. Before, episodes would generally follow a specific structure, Dan Harmon's story circle. Let's look at it through the lens of one of the most beloved episodes from season 2, Total Rickle. First, in step 1, the episode establishes the main characters within their comfort zone, which is part 1 of the story circle.
You've got a character that you can identify with.
When Rick shoots Uncle Steve and reveals him as a parasite, it begins the second stage, or needing something.
It has some kind of need, wish, incompletion.
In this case, it's to solve the parasite problem. Next is stage 3, which Harmon identifies as crossing the threshold.
Causes them to go across a threshold where the story changes direction.
The family enters the unfamiliar situation of not knowing who is real and who is an implanted memory. They're fully involved in the plot now. Stage 4 comes after that, with the struggle of searching for a solution.
They go down a road of trials, searching for something.
As the parasites get more numerous, the pressure only grows and the circumstances get more dire. Finally, it's the height of the struggle, and as Rick gives up on solving the problem, Morty figures out that the parasites don't create bad memories. It lines up directly with stage 5 of the story circle as the main characters learn the key bit of information that offers them a solution.
They find it, whether they like it or not.
Then comes the suffering, paying the price and making the sacrifices Harmon sees it.
It kind of kicks their ass.
Here, that's quite literal. The Smith family is forced to execute the parasites who they remember as their trusted friends and family. Eventually, they get to stage 7, which is the return to normality as they all sit down to dinner.
And they come back to the world they started in, having changed.
Harmon's last stage of the story is an ending where we see how the main characters or the world have changed permanently. Beth, still suspicious of everyone because of the parasite, shoots Mr. Poopy Butthole, fulfilling this final stage. Pretty much all of the earlier episodes followed this structure, and it gave the show a foundation for Roiland to improvise on, like a drummer making a beat for the rest of the jazz band to play to. In contrast, later episodes often forgot or just flat out ignored this structure. They focused on one or two single jokes, or they let the writers build the entire episode off a single strange idea. In season 4, even the worst episodes still paid lip service. The Morty Gets a Dragon episode is often cited as one of the worst, but it still generally follows the structure. The only problem is that the story beats just feel like they're there to justify the joke scenes. You can also see traces of this in the publicity they did for the show in between season 3 and 4. We already saw part of that interview, but in an Instagram post from that time, Harmon also showed off the pile of post-it notes they created to try and come up with new ideas. You can easily imagine Morty Gets a Dragon or Rick Does a Dragon as the post-it note that started the whole mess. The rest of the episode only exists to make that happen. The episode was also the beginning of a dangerous path for the show. Earlier episodes and jokes had been crude or shocking, that was just the show. But it's justifiable when it leads to a funny joke or it's there for a reason. The dragon episode, or later even worse episodes like the sperm episode, were just gross without even being funny. The fact that these kinds of jokes and episodes got more common could have just been the writers running out of momentum for the show. Writing one good episode is hard, keeping a show good for multiple seasons is almost impossible. But at the same time, there were also signs that something sour was going on behind the scenes. When the Justin Roiland accusations came out in early 2023, they detailed numerous complaints from staff working on the show dating back years. It doesn't take a massive leap of logic to see these uncomfortable jokes as his worldview leaking into the show itself. Of course, Rick and Morty's best episodes, funniest jokes, and the whole idea itself are thanks to Justin Roiland. But as the show went on, he couldn't keep hitting the same highs. Everyone absolutely loved the first interdimensional cable episode, for example, but the next few attempts to recreate that improvisational magic felt mediocre at best. The basic foundation was still there for the most part, they could still make good episodes. For every dragon or sperm episode, there was a vat of acid. Some of the best episodes were the ones that actually contributed to the overall story that the writers tentatively set out. Sometimes though, it felt like the writers were actually angry for the fans at liking these episodes. Lots of the meta episodes they made seemed to poke fun at this. But while they were busy deconstructing the idea of a story by season 6, they seem to have forgotten what actually made the show enjoyable in the first place. In episode 7, there are some great jokes like the all-meta characters they fight. Really, because Rick is omnipotent within the confines of the story, it's one of the only ways they have of giving him a real challenge. But one throwaway line seems to reveal this inherent weakness within the show at this point.
Classic adventures, like season 1.
So sick of that f***ing note, what the f*** does it even mean?
Rick bemoaning the fact that he doesn't even know what classic adventures means implies a frustration on the part of the writers. The fact that they no longer know what the fans want anymore or why people miss the old seasons is telling. It was shortly after season 6 said that they cancelled Justin Roiland altogether. Although, as we've seen recently, it wasn't the Armageddon for the show that people once thought it was. As the seasons have gone on, we've seen more good episodes than bad ones. Ratings are generally up. So why are we saying that the show died years ago? While the core of the show was that partnership between Harmon and Roiland, that sense of structured chaos. We lost the tight structure around season 4. Roiland started to fall off in season 5 and 6, and then got cancelled entirely later. Rick and Morty and a bunch of the other characters have already reached their logical endpoint. The best episode of season 8, according to lots of people, was the Jerry episode, likely because his character still has somewhere to go. For a show that was built on the idea of taking risks and changing things up, it now seems petrified to change anything about the formula. Spoilers for the most recent season ahead, but in the finale there's a moment between where Space Beth is killed by regular Beth. It could have been something that gave the events within the show meaning again. Something permanent that actually changes things. It could have been one final destructive act brought about by Rick's inability to deal with his own past. Instead, they couldn't let go of the character and they just brought her back to life again minutes later. Even the more recent plot episodes have felt like this. The Tales from the Citadel episode didn't even feature our Rick and Morty at all, but it still felt like the events mattered because it laid the foundations for a story that would affect them later on. The Citadel episode of season 8, on the other hand, had lots of the same beats, but it didn't have as much impact because the end result seemingly won't affect our main characters at all. Maybe a later episode will prove this wrong, but it doesn't fit in without the evil Morty link the old Citadel episode had. The Rick and Morty of today plays it safe. It waters down the characters and does everything it can to preserve the winning formula that lets them crank out more episodes. For the fans today, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It will never be as good as it once was. It's never going to be something like The Simpsons or even South Park. Even today, South Park's still in popular culture and relevant, 20 plus seasons later. Now, all of this isn't to say that the new Rick and Morty completely sucks. On the contrary, it's surprisingly a strong show after 8 whole seasons. What's left is a selection of talented writers with a completely free hand when it comes to individual episodes. We'll still get good episodes for the next 4 seasons, just like we have for the last 2. The Fear Hole and the Jerry episode from season 8 are some of the strongest we've seen in years. But Rick and Morty might as well be dead. No one talks about it anymore, no one cares about it anymore, it plays it safe, there's no real depth anymore, and half of the show kind of left when Justin left. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's completely over yet.